This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
In this beautiful, messed up world, I felt defeated and that I had paid my dues. I was sick and tired of just cowboys and kisses. I'm not that kind who likes to be left outside alone, feeling heavy on my heart, asking, why'd you lie to me as if love is a crime? Then one day, in summer, I turned on the radio and boom, something amazing happened. It was like pieces of a dream. I heard the same song on high rotation. And just when I thought I would never love again, I absolutely, positively know this song altered me. Something changed, and I call it love. Now, I may be getting a little excited here, but the way I see it, I think I can feel you. I even think I belong to you. So let me know if I'm just a freak of nature. Please, welcome to the Hump Day crew, Anastasia.
Wow. Oh my God, my songs are a book.
They are.
That is killer. I was like, wow, okay, that's one. Oh, boom, he got boom in there. That was so clever.
Thank you very much. Now, you've been a very busy person over the last few years. Lots of different things happening since your last album.
Yes, yes.
One of the most exciting things, you got married.
I did get married. How did you figure that one out?
You got married to your bodyguard.
Yes, how do you guys figure this? You're so good at all the research.
Well, you know what we do? We actually send out Hump Day Crew stalkers over to Europe, where you are right now, I believe. And they're following you everywhere.
Right, you think? Are those guys that are right next to me? You guys, you're too close.
We want to know, how much like Whitney Houston's movie The Bodyguard was this relationship and getting together?
You know, I remember seeing that movie. But I don't really feel like it was like it. There's obviously, because he was her bodyguard, that's probably the closest part.
Gotcha.
And then it gets all askew from there.
Now, Anastasia, you getting married was a very exciting thing for you. Did changing your hairstyle and losing your trademark glasses help you woo him?
You know what? No, it didn't help me woo him, because I think that he saw me a couple times without the glasses. I think he knew what fabulous amount of flesh was underneath the glasses. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, I think that it was probably in front of our face and we didn't even really know it, see it, acknowledge it. We just kept working as normal, and, you know, one day it sort of just goes, you know, you kind of look at somebody and go, get out of here. No, really?
So how long had he been your bodyguard for?
2 years.
So 2 years, he was right under your nose.
2 years, he was my bodyguard, and we were like, May, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then
all of a sudden it was different.
And I'm intrigued by your wedding, or your ceremony was written and officiated by a shaman.
Yes, it was.
I'm guessing with the ankh on your back tattooed there, you're quite a spiritual person, am I right?
Yeah, I think more him and I both were spiritual and you know, following more of a religious kind of wedding vow didn't really hold similar values for either one of us. We believe in religion, but not in one in total. So we designed our own really ceremony, and a shaman allows you to sort of do that, do the spiritualness of what being a shaman is.
And I'm guessing you like that would have made it a lot more personal and meant a lot more for you than just doing something by the book that is kind of a copy and paste, yeah?
Well, for us it did. I mean, I don't think that literally if someone believes in religion, then copy and paste is exactly how they need to get married. You know, so I totally agree with religious beliefs in marriage, because then you really know that those vows are traditionally what you need to do. But it wasn't how we needed to get married. You know, I just think that it just worked for us, you know, not that everyone needs to do that, you know.
Now, Anastasia, if you do end up having children or, you know, bringing children into the world, will you sort of initiate them into your kind of religion, or will you kind of adapt to like an institutionalized religion or something more by the book?
My husband has two children, and they're already pretty much in, you know, kind of like spiritually, there's no real religion indoctrinated into their world. So, you know, technically we already kind of have that covered, and him and I are deciding not to have children and, you know, just raise his children.
Well, you're busy enough at the moment. Another thing that you've done
Tell me about it.
Another thing that we're intrigued with is you've got your own official perfume called Resurrection.
I do.
How did the process
of... I wear it every day.
You would hope so. It would be a bit of a worry if you're wearing Britney Spears or someone else's.
You know, it would be great if I was. I think that would be hot. Yeah, cross-dressing. I think that, you know, personally, designing the fragrance made me a lot closer to it, being part of the whole, you know, perfume your air guy, you know, would send me all these different fragrances that I was saying that I liked and that I usually wear. And then he sort of combined these to sort of make my fragrance, you know, kind of combine the best ofs, or, you know, in his way, because of course I could never really figure out what he was doing or how he was doing it, when I'd say, oh, I don't like this one, but I like that one. And, you know, so he'd figure out what it was in certain fragrances that I liked, you know.
Were there like white lab coats in a laboratory where you both would sit there in masks and test the smells?
They really are. They are. It's really all what it's cracked up to be. I mean, of course, I walked up in leather and, you know, glasses and all my hair, and they're like, hi, girl. But then, you know, after the fragrance came, you know, they're chopped the hair and the glasses came off and the new me came out after I wore my fragrance.
So there is a new you, and you can still look like you, but now a lot of other people can look like you because you've also got your own range of clothes.
I did have my own range of clothes for 2 years. It was so fun. I loved it. But let me tell you, it was so much work.
Really?
So in awe of every fashion designer and people that work in clothing. I was just in shock that they could do it each and every month, coming out with all these new products and gimmicks. And it's so much work what goes into clothing. My goodness. So at this moment, I'm not in the process of doing the clothing line because I decided to commit to record stuff. Because you really, to be honest, I don't know how they do it both, because there's no way they could be that involved in their clothing lines and have an album. You know, they have other people doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm a control freak, so I can't stop. I have to either do one or the other.
So you're sticking to performing.
I'm sticking to coming back to music, man. You know, I took a little bit of time off, and that's probably too much.
Well, you're back now. And you have been doing a lot of charity work to do with AIDS in Africa.
Yeah, I did. It was really, really special to just work with a couple different people on it, actually. Did some work with Mandela, and then I also did some work with Annie Lennox. So it really was, you know, whenever something calls when it comes to charity, my God, there'd be no problem with it. It really is just, I think we tend to forget when we're in different territories what things are like in other territories, you know.
What was one of the most eye-opening things you saw being in Africa?
How many babies are alone? How many babies are left? You know, without mothers and fathers, and there are a lot of kids out there that are AIDS infected from their parents. But how many kids are just left to survive kind of on their own?
It's easy when you
die.
It's easy to detach yourself when you see it on TV, but when you're actually there, you can't detach,
yeah,
can you?
You just sort of, the fact of knowing this like 7-year-old is taking care of their younger brothers, you know. And that it's normal.
Yeah.
And that it's normal to go and figure out how to get the food and bring it back and cook it. And they're like 7 and 10. They have such a wiseness in their eyes that, you know, that they shouldn't have to have.
Is it kind of when you go to countries like that, I'd imagine, especially Africa, where I heard that over 80% of Swaziland's population is infected with HIV, when you come back from such an eye-opening and confronting experience like that, do you kind of, you know, look back at your life and though however hectic it may be, you really, really appreciate that?
Well, absolutely. I think when anything tragic occurs, it does, it's supposed to, I think, just, you know, generically, it's the karma of it. It's supposed to just give you life lessons, but sometimes it doesn't really sink in that deep to a lot of people because a lot of people don't want to think about that. They live on the surface.
Mm.
You know, and to live below the surface, below the neck, sometimes I call it, is too difficult for a lot of people.
Well, sorry, Anis, obviously love is and kind of that kind of thing is very important to you because we've noticed that in your songs, love is quite a major theme. How important is it to you on a whole?
Well, I think the connection of love means that you're living below your neck. You know, you're living with your heart, you're living with your soul. And if you really do feel love and you're genuinely feeling whatever it is, then, you know, then it's okay. You don't have to blame anyone. You don't have to point fingers. You just have to know that you were. And you can continue being the same person. Therefore, in some of my songs in my past, the beauty of love was I continued to go for it again and again. I continued to give many people, many friends, many business people, many more chances because it wasn't just because of the disappointment I may have felt didn't mean that, you know, life was over. It just meant that person wasn't particularly the right person. But I think that, you know, my mom always sort of, you got to judge people by the way that they are to you, not by the way they look or, you know. And so that's kind of always been my MO. I can't really judge somebody if I don't like the pants they're in. You know, that's from the neck up. You're thinking with your head, you know, not with your heart.
Talking about coming from the heart, you've got a brand new album out. It's a lot more soulful than your other ones. Would you agree?
You know,
tell us about your new album.
Yeah, the new album, Heavy Rotation, interestingly enough, I think it's my most mature album to date as an artist. And even though I might have been able to say that about the third, I think the third was the most emotional.
Uh-huh.
Because I went through cancer and because it was such a deliberate, you know, album to finish, you know, for my own self, so that I could feel like I accomplished and got over cancer and fought it, you know, face on. But this album seems to sort of follow the first and second in its, you know, kind of soulful, funky R&B side of those albums. But this is a little bit more mature, and it has a little bit more growth in what the soul part is and what the faith part is. And so for me, I think that, you know, the biggest difference in this album is I was able to write some really happy songs, positive songs about the way that I feel about life and where life is right now, which I don't think my fans have heard as many in a row.
Yes, so you're coming a lot from the heart in this one.
Yeah, I am, and I'm feeling very good. So it's for me, just perspective-wise, as a writer, after about 8 years of writing songs and never thinking I could ever write an album like this, it was quite inspiring to be able to sit back and go, wow, I do feel like that, you know, because I didn't really realize I could write a whole album like that.
Well, Anastasia, we're really, really excited to hear your new album. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was exciting to do it, actually.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.